I'm still upset the Penny Arcade stole from me.
It steal from you.
Okay. What was the joke of my comic?
That there's like hordes of slaves, but you only have to save a few, and there's a bunch left over.
And what was the theme of their comic?
That there's a horde of slaves, but you only have to save a few, and there's a bunch left over, and they get raped by dick wolves.
And that was the big controversy to come out of it, was that, oh, they used the word rape. No one worry about the travesties that have been, you know, paid to me here.
Or, you know, slavery.
That's not a real issue anymore. Podcast for August 14th, 2010. Hello, everybody. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Ashguy.
Yo.
Today, we got a Exploding Minotti Brothers show. I think we were called that once.
I think Pete called us that.
Yeah. Or Beige. Someone called us
that. It was a synthesized Commodore 64 voice that Pete made for the C64 episode of the Squadcast.
Okay, then. So anyways, here's our show today. We're going to start off with the news. We got MPDs, and there may have been a big game announcement.
Couple. Just one. Yes.
Yeah, I was about to say a couple. What? No. No, there weren't. All right, there's one. After that, we got a quiz. Then let's go topical with plenty of fun topics. Our week in gaming and the releases, and that'll be the show. So go ahead.
Okay. Let's do MPDs. Yeah, for the first time since September of 07, during the launch of Halo 3, the Xbox 360 is the top-selling piece of hardware for the month of July, with 444,000 units ahead of the DS at 398.
Yep.
Yep.
The 360 Slim had something to do with that.
Right. It helped.
They don't call it that, by the way,
no,
right?
No, it's just the Xbox 360. They ditched the old ones, and this is the new ones, and that's all there is. So DS followed by the Wii at 254, PS3 at 215, and the PSP at 84,000.
PSP. Lower than 100K, I see.
Yes.
Cool.
All in all, everybody saw some significant drops from month over month from June, except for the Xbox, which is only down 2%.
Right. Yeah. Just looking at this. I mean, there weren't that many games released in July, though.
No.
Just looking at the software, it's a lot of carryovers.
Mm-hmm.
Only three of the games. Well, okay. Yeah, three of the games really will release in July. Why don't you go do that though?
Well, here's the thing. First of all, MPDs don't really do PC games, but it should be noted that if it did, StarCraft II would be the number one selling title at 721,000 units at retail. And you know, when you factor in the digital sales, it's even more.
Fair enough. StarCraft II did very well for itself. We're all aware.
Yes. Then you got NCAA Football 11 on the 360, followed by the PS3 version. It's 368,000 versus 299,000, for those who are curious. Then you have Crackdown 2, Super Mario Galaxy 2.
I guess all those sevens couldn't hold Crackdown 2 down.
Nope. Brand strength. You know, that's why people make sequels. You got Lego Harry Potter.
Or maybe that's why people slap brand names onto games that they don't really, should have.
Ooh,
see where I'm going there?
Yeah.
Yes.
Right.
You're going through these. I want to comment on these.
I'm sorry. Feel free to stop me whenever.
Jeez, I mean, I'm trying to catch up. I wanted to say something about Crackdown 2.
Okay.
I still want to say something about Mario Galaxy 2.
I'm repeating.
You're already on Red Dead Redemption. Jeez.
I didn't get to that yet.
Yeah.
You're getting ahead. Slow down. Jeez.
No, I'm catching up.
Super Mario Galaxy 2 on the Wii.
Now I'm
Wii
trotting
is number 4.
Because you were blazing through this.
Super Mario Galaxy 2 on the Wii is number 4.
It's good to see that it has staying power. That's all I wanted to say.
Okay, that's fair.
But, you just got to give me a chance here.
Okay. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, Lego Harry Potter years 1 through 4 for the DS.
Those games always have great soundtracks because it's always just,
the movies.
Soundtracks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see, Red Dead Redemption for the 360s at number 6.
It's great that the two big games from May are still sticking around.
Yep. Then you're hanging on to Lego Harry Potter years 1 through 4 on the Wii. Number 7, Then Dragon Quest IX on the DS at number 8, which is...
What do you think about that?
That's kind of surprising.
I'm surprised that actually was able to break the top
Beat out New Super Mario Bros. Wii at number 9. And Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 for the 360 at number 10, making a strange reappearance in the top 10.
I like how those last two games both came out in November of last year.
Eh.
They're still both showing up. I wonder what's going to... See, is there any game coming out this November that's going to be, like, that powerful that we're going to see it in the top 10?
For me, maybe Black Ops.
Well, maybe. I don't know if World at War should up that much. But no, you might be right. Anything else you want to say about those numbers?
No.
Dragon Quest, your biggest surprise, I guess?
Yeah, I was kind of surprised. Like, I figured it'd do okay for itself in America. I didn't think it'd break the top 10. I mean, like you said, it did kind of the luxury of being released in a fairly sparse time period.
Yeah, like, the only other big July games were Crackdown 2, at least that were on here, Crackdown 2.
And StarCraft.
And NCAA. Yeah, and StarCraft, okay. NCAA. I can't believe that still sells so well.
People like college football.
People love college football.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not surprised, but it's like, I didn't even realize that came out, is what I mean. And it's the top seller.
Comes out every July.
I guess so. And then we have Madden now. But did these people get this game and then... They just get this game and presumably stop playing it when Madden comes out, right?
Yeah, there's some people who just like the college. One of my former roommates was one of those people.
I guess so. Can you imagine there was like a college baseball game?
There used to be.
No way.
Yeah, after EA lost the MLB license, they tried to do a college game one year and it failed miserably.
Yeah, I can imagine. Jeez. Was there a college... No, there are college basketball games, aren't there?
Oh, yeah.
Madness. I don't know. Are there any more? This is getting really boring. Move on.
All right, let's get to the other big story this week. And the launch trailer of BioShock Infinite.
Infinite what?
Just BioShock Infinite.
Infinite. I'm joking.
Okay.
Tell me about BioShock Infinite.
Okay. It was talked about Project Icarus from Irrational Games. They released a teaser trailer. Essentially, to boil this game down to its most basic, it is a prequel to the original BioShock taking place in 1912.
Well, they say it's not a prequel, it just takes place before.
Well, right.
Which I don't know, that seems to be the definition of a prequel to me, but whatever.
I don't think it directly relates. It's not like Andrew Ryan saw, the city of Columbia and was like, I know, I'll build Rapture. But anyway.
Hopefully there's got to be something... Like, this takes place in the same universe, you think, right?
Oh, it's America, that's all.
But, I mean, does it take place in the same fictional universe in which Rapture would later be built?
Probably.
Okay.
Well, let me continue here before I put the cart before the horse. It is set in 1912, taking place in the city of Columbia, which floats among the clouds, using a complicated system of, like, hot air balloons. Again, all very stylized... cool-looking art design, very patriotic feel to it. A lot of American flags and Uncle Sam were shown in the trailer. In this game, the Big Daddy-esque figures from the teaser we saw are, like, these big lumbering dudes whose, like artificial hearts are in these weird glass cases on their chest, which screams weak point to me, but, we also got a glimpse of, presumably, this woman you'll be trying to save throughout the game. The way they've been talking about it through the previews, it's almost making me think she's going to be a little bit of an Alex character throughout the game, and a lot of the moral choice in this game, as opposed to like the black and white choice of killing little sisters, is going to be how much do you push her to help you? Because from what I read from the previews of this game, you have the option to have her use her considerable powers to help you, but when she does, she's visibly weakened by it. So that would be my guess, is you have the option of saying, blow that shit up, or, hey, take it easy, I've got this, I don't want you to exert yourself. Which I think is kind of cool.
That's interesting. So basically she has plasmids and no one else
Right,
does.
Well, there's not, instead of plasmids,
it's not
like
plasmids,
injections,
per se.
It's, you take, these potions, I guess. And one of the things Levine seemed to emphasize was the fact that, these powers aren't free in this game, kind of the way they were in BioShock. There's a lot more physical taxation to using your powers in this game. They also, the other thing I like, you kind of see in the trailer you talk about too, is they went for a more stylized look for all the human characters in this game rather than realism. Because that was one of the things about Bioshock that was always a little disconcerting.
Their human characters did not look great.
Right. So yeah, they're just going for stylized.
There weren't many of them, which was okay.
Right.
Most of them were supposed to be spliced up and ugly. So it was okay for the most part, but then you saw the real Andrew Ryan model, and was like, why is he so weird?
Yeah, and it's their own engine this time. They realized they needed it to properly display, because, you know, this all takes place kind of outside in the clouds, and the skyboxes and stuff is shown in the trailer, at least. I don't know how much of that is actually gameplay or what, but it does look very nice, very colorful.
Well, I mean, you know.
I'm excited.
I will not doubt Ken Levine right now.
Right.
We'll talk more about Bioshock Infinite in the Let's Go topical, obviously.
Okay.
So, I think we can move on for now. We will be coming back to this topic soon.
All right.
Okay, so you get through the news.
Yes. Okay.
In case everybody's mad, like, why don't you talk about it now? Well, it's AJ's fault. It's not my fault. I don't want to talk about it, but he has to go do the news first. I don't know.
Anyway, we have Warren Spector talking about how, thanks to Kinect and Move, it's possible that Epic Mickey could come to the 360 and PS3.
I'm sure it's possible.
Right.
I don't know if he will. Right. Nintendo's been pretty good to him about pushing this game, so I don't know if he will or not, you know?
Right. Well, it's,
I bet this is
going to
be an Okami case, where, like, if Epic Mickey doesn't do well, then all of a sudden, oh, here comes that special PlayStation 3 version.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know.
With IGN watermark in the box art.
Yes, with the IGN watermark in the box art.
Yes.
I see what you did there.
Thank you.
Did you see that thing where he wanted to make a DuckTales game?
No.
I mean, it was just a story. How did you not see it? It was on, like, every... do you read the blogs? I'm confused.
Yeah, I don't know. I must have missed this.
Because that's because you only do RSS feeds.
Yeah, I read everything. From, like, Joystick, Kotaku, apparently Avatar, Destructoid, and everyone else.
Well, basically, he was saying to somebody how he likes DuckTales and he wants to do a game with Scrooge McDuck. Remember, I talked to him about at that roundtable I was at, so this isn't a huge surprise. I mean, I was kind of hoping to talk to you about this within the context that you had heard this.
My bad.
I don't really feel like explaining it all to you. Yeah.
Well, it makes sense.
You dropped the ball on this one, so let's continue.
Quick aside, did you read the DuckTales comic that's basically Inception?
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
That's funny. I mean, it's not... As funny as I think it is that, you know, he stole the idea of Inception from DuckTales.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not really.
The Scrooge McDuck comics. Like, well, I mean, the idea of going inside people's dreams in a comic is not all that crazy.
Right. Anyway.
Next.
So Microsoft put out, like, box art of the 4GB Kinect bundle, which is the 360 arcade setup with a Kinect. And on the side of the box is the unannounced Kinect 250GB bundle. I mean, shocker that this is happening, but, you know, it is happening. One would guess it would be like $399.99.
Hooray.
Yes. Next. Sony Online Entertainment has announced EverQuest Next. This is, basically EverQuest 3. They released a single screenshot from it so far. They're going to have more to show at their fanfare convention. But from this screenshot, it's very pretty looking. They're going for much more of a kind of stylized, almost watercolor look from the game if the screenshot's to be believed, which is nice. Because EverQuest 2 had that kind of...
EverQuest 2 was very...
It was very
kind of
plain. It was just like going for realism.
It was very proportional.
Nice. Yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Right. So,
Nothing was sort of exaggerated in any way.
Right.
Which doesn't really work for an MMO. I don't know.
So, yeah, good for them, I say.
Yeah, sure, whatever. Have fun with that.
Let's see. We have the announcement of Split Second DLC.
Yay. Did you see that Disney's profits went really high up this quarter?
Yes.
Thanks to Toy Story 3, the game, and Split Second.
Yeah, it's nice to kind of see them, you know, kind of a major player again.
Sure.
Well, but there's four.
Kind of for the first time. Right?
What's that?
When were they ever a major player?
Oh, I remember all the great, like, Capcom Disney Interactive games that came out.
Yeah, that was
the
them licensing their games.
They had a hand in that, too. I mean, they published them.
Did they publish them?
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway, keep going.
Anyway, with Split Second, we're getting three smaller DLC packs in the next few weeks. The third one that's just a car will be free. And then the fourth pack in September will be like a whole new track and everything. So, you know, I'm a fan.
Cool.
I like that
game. I need to get my own copy of this game.
So then we have some controversy coming out of Dragon Age 2 on the PC in particular. Apparently, in an interview in a French magazine, one of the guys from BioWare is talking about how, after initially saying that Dragon Age 2 would be just like Dragon Age 1 on PC with the tactical camera and everything, that's not quite the case. You'll be able to pull out the camera to a higher angle in the PC version, but it's not quite as far as Dragon Age Origins. It seems like it's going to be kind of in between like the PC and console versions, but it'll still have more of a tactical feel. I don't know. It's hard to say. It's so much hearsay right now at this point.
Was Dragon Age 1 really so bad that they seem to go out of their way as much as possible to tell us how different it's going to be from Dragon Age 1? That's just the thing I don't get from all this.
Yeah, it's just...
Every single time I read something about Dragon Age, it's just like, basically what I'm getting is that this is going to be nothing like Dragon Age 1. And I liked Dragon Age 1.
Yeah, you know, seems like they want to, they're like, Mass Effect 2 was more popular, so let's move it in that direction. I almost feel it's more of a side effect of sci-fi property versus old-school fantasy. I don't know, I'm sure it'll be fine. Again, BioWare is one of those companies that gets a free pass from me until they really fuck something up.
No one gets a free pass from me. I'm skeptical of everybody.
See, they also announced, too, this, even though it doesn't really affect me too much, I don't like it in theory, they're not, at least at launch, releasing the tool set for Dragon Age 2. Although, from the quote this guy left, he made it sound like it probably will happen. He's just not saying for sure.
See, now the whole point of Dragon Age was that it was going to be like... Oh, it's going to be like...
The spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate.
Spiritual successor to Baldur's Gate. It's going to be very PC-friendly and stuff like that. Now it seems like they're going the complete opposite direction all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I didn't get, too. He said part of why they're not doing the pulled-out camera is because they don't have the art assets and the textures. I thought you'd need that if you're zooming in. Like, if you're zooming out, can't you just kind of blur everything?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I didn't really play the PC version, so I don't even know what their tactical mode looked like.
Right.
But, so, I don't know. I'm still more concerned about the console changes where I read things like, oh, you map actions to your buttons and it's like a combat game. Ugh, that just makes me, cringe. Like, push X for heavy slash. No, thank you.
Right. Here's the thing. I mean, it was playable at Comic-Con, but I haven't really seen anyone write up, here's our hands-on report with how Dragon Age 2 plays.
You know, that's true. I forgot that it was playable there. No one actually really has... Maybe I missed all of it, but I did not read anybody say, this is how it played. I don't know. I'm just getting skeptical of Dragon Age 2. I was very skeptical of Dragon Age 1. Well, no, that's not true. I was just apathetic about Dragon Age 1.
That's how I turned you on to. I was kind of shocked at how much you actually ended up liking it.
Well, I beat it long before you did.
Huh?
Nanny, nanny, noo, noo. All right, what's next?
Voice actors for Fallout New Vegas. We get Wayne Newton as a radio voice of a long-dead DJ.
Who's Wayne Newton again?
Oh... Aside from a very popular singer, he's a big Vegas icon right now. You know,
he was in Vegas Vacation.
Giswell's wife almost cheated on him with.
For some reason, I was thinking of Wayne Knight at first.
No,
the guy from Jurassic Park and Seinfeld.
The game will also feature the voice talents of Felicia Day.
Really?
Once again, Ron Perlman will be in the game.
Okay, maybe I'm out of line here, but I feel like people let's get Felicia Day in our stuff because she's the gaming sweetheart or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's not so like she's not talented, too.
Okay.
Anyway.
Who's she going to be?
I don't know. Probably just some person. Don't worry about it.
See, this is what I'm talking about. If you speak bad about Felicia Day, Felicia Day is not the princess of gaming and nerd culture. It's like, look, you got upset at me. oh, no.
Anyway.
Guess what? Felicia Day?
Michael Dorn is in the game. Was that do anything for you?
Ex-Star Trek actors being in these games has long stopped surprising me.
You were excited about Patrick Stewart being in Castlevania.
Right, and that's why I'm saying this has now long stopped exciting me.
All
right.
We also
Marina Sirtis, I think, was in one of these games.
She was in Mass Effect.
Yeah, she was in Mass Effect. Captain Janeway was in Dragon Age. Like I said, not surprising.
That's true, she was. Also, Matthew Perry will be playing a mob boss.
That's interesting. You see, these aren't real voice actors. Why don't you get voice actors?
Yeah. You know, Jim Cummings was in Mass Effect 2. I don't know who he was.
He always does a bit voice here or there.
Yeah. Usually I pick up on that. Anyway, the PSP version of Star Wars Force Unleashed 2 was canceled.
The PC?
Or PSP.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised that people were making those as long as they were, like, the PSP version.
Well, they're generally just the Wii version without motion controls.
Yeah, I guess. But it still seems like more work than it's worth. How many people do you know that bought, like, Force Unleashed on the PSP?
I don't know any. But I don't know. I don't know many PSP players, so...
But, I mean, even let's count the internet, even.
Yeah.
I know no one. Next.
Okay, this is just a funny EVE Online story that amused me.
This thing.
So, I don't know if you're aware, but to combat gold farmers in the game, you can actually get an in-game item called Plex that is basically, it's an in-game item that gives you 30 days of game time. That, like, so if you're making a ton of in-game currency, you could just play the game for free, in essence. Until recently, you weren't able to ship these via starships, but now you can. And a pirate group saw a freighter, and they scanned it, and saw it was carrying the equivalent of 6 years' worth of Plex. And instead of, like, hijacking the ship and stealing it, which is totally possible in the game, they just blew it all up. If you were to count this stuff's real-world value, they just destroyed $1,295 worth of game time.
Why didn't they steal it and try to sell it or something?
I don't know. I think they just felt like being dicks.
Maybe they just didn't know. I don't know.
No, they scanned it. Like, they knew what was
in
there.
Yeah, I know they knew, but maybe they didn't really think about it.
I guess.
Enough. I feel like when you think about it, the choice of making money or not making money for doing the same thing, usually you'll pick making money.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I saw it was all amusing.
Maybe they forgot what money is because they've been playing EVE so much. Maybe Flex at this point actually had less value to them than whatever EVE's currency is. They're like, wait, this is what? Dollars? I only like Zen cards.
It's ISK.
The fact that you know what it is makes you dumb and stupid.
I played EVE for two months.
I played EVE. What?
I played it for 2 months.
That's just not true.
It's very true.
You played it for 2 weeks.
That's not true.
And you were like, oh, I'm getting into EVE. I'm like, yeah, I can't wait to see how long this lasts.
Yeah.
AD will never be a hardcore MMO player. Ever.
I know. Too fickle. Like the change up I'm doing.
What did you just beat this week?
We'll get to it.
Yeah. Here's a hint. It came out in February.
Yeah. Anyway, so just as I actually had myself convinced that, hey, Sonic Colors doesn't look too bad, the game's lead designer, Takashi Iizuka, decided to tell me I was an idiot for liking it. More specifically, he had this to say. We know there are sometimes opinions about control from core gamers, but we're intending Sonic Colors to be played by children probably between 6 and 12 years old, which I knew already, and I was still okay with that. He continues. So, with Sonic Colors, we have aimed to make a game that everyone can control and have fun in, so it's not really a game for the core gamers. If you take the real grind, it's something that's fast, not difficult, but it's fun to do and looks great. It's about making a game that's right for the core audience of the game.
I have a hard time because I almost agree with some things he says and then very much disagree with other things. This is a Let's Go Topical thing, though, so we have to hold off on this.
All right, then we'll move on for now. What's their name? Real Time Worlds, creators of the original Crackdown and the recently released All Points Bulletin, are apparently fucked.
Wait. Those are the guys who made All Points Bulletin?
Yeah.
The guys who made the first Crackdown?
Yeah.
But All Points Bulletin's supposed to be terrible.
Right. They basically have the option of make Crackdown 2 or do their own thing and make APB, and they chose the latter.
Nobody won.
Crackdown 2 is in the top 10 for the month. APB may have ruined the company. they've basically had to lay off people to the point where either they're down to a skeleton crew of just enough people to support APB, and they're probably not going to bounce back.
Well, apparently that game was just horrible.
Right.
It's such a bad idea.
Yeah.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
Why do some... See, some people get... Dude, it's okay to make the sequel for your game. Don't be like, we gotta move on and, like, do something crazy. You know, I appreciate that to an extent. But you're gonna fail more often than not.
From what I understand of everyone who's played APB, it's just not like it's an action shooting game where the shooting's not good.
And that's a problem.
Here's the biggest problem I've heard. I mean, it's a quasi MMORPG where you can either play as criminals or like vigilantes. The problem is, if you're not specifically instanced with somebody, you can't interact. So what this means is you could be playing as a vigilante character. You could see player characters engaging in a crime, but because you're not like specifically connected to them, you can't stop them.
I don't even get it.
You know what I mean?
It.
Like, you could watch someone robbing a bank, and if you try to shoot them, your bullets just go through them.
It's just dumb.
It just seems like such an obvious thing to me.
Even the whole game, it sounds about as complex as, like, what was basically a throwaway feature on
When I thought when it was first announced, it was still going to be kind of like the Crackdown superhero-esque thing to it. But it's not. Like, it's basically like glorified Grand Theft Auto.
Right. I don't know why they went away from something so cool to make a GTA clone.
Yeah.
Even to the point where is that... Okay, if anybody else makes a freaking open-world game where you're, you know, basically a gangster, please stop.
Yeah.
Unless you're like a mobster, that's okay. But if you're literally like the street thug, you know what I mean. You steal cars, you shoot people and take their money. Yeah, enough of that.
Especially
we have
too,
Grand Theft Auto.
Being...
We have Saints Row even. I'll allow Saints Row, I guess. Whatever.
This might have been okay on the 360, but people are accustomed to playing that type of game on a console. This being a PC exclusive, I don't think did them any favors.
Well, yeah, who the hell even makes a PC exclusive anymore who's not Blizzard? Or, like, Sid Meier.
Yep.
A lot of bad decisions went into that one. I did not know that game was those people. I'm pissed now. Why didn't you make Crackdown 2?
I didn't. Some other guys did.
I'm not talking to you. Okay, move
Sorry,
on. We're done there.
A big update's coming to Team Fortress 2 next month.
I want more of the Meet the Whatever videos.
I know. They only have two
yet,
more. Just finish them.
Yeah. They didn't release one with the last update.
I know. But anyway, this next update will have a new game type, which they're kind of not really talking about. It will also include 20 new items and weapons, all of which come from the user-created PolyCount contest winners, except, you know, they're actually taking the time to balance these and everything. But, you know, the inclusion of 20 new items and weapons, just generally speaking, that's kind of big when you really think about it. They're also including the ability to trade items with other players for the crafting purposes.
Good. I like these things.
Yes.
I hope that the new game type is essentially Rock 2 from Team Fortress Classic.
That'd be great.
I don't know what you would call that game type. Capture the card and then put the card in the gas chamber?
Yeah.
We'll call it gas chamber.
Gas chamber, yeah.
Oh, that's not good at all. That's a terrible, terrible name for a game type, AJ. What are you thinking? Next.
Okay. That was actually the last thing.
Well, that's anticlimactic. On to the quiz.
Okay.
Great American Ads Guy Gaming Quiz. I got 5 questions and a bonus question. Question the first. A game known as Downtown Hot-Blooded Story in Japan and Street Gangs in PAL regions was called what in the United States?
Say the Japanese game.
Downtown Hot-Blooded Story.
Oh, Grand Theft Auto?
River City Ransom.
Ah, that makes sense.
All right, 2. The two characters in River City Ransom also serve as mascots for the game's developer. Name the developer.
Shit. Can't remember. I don't know.
Technos.
Damn it.
Not techno. Technos. Yeah. Not Tecmo, I guess. All right. Question 3. Those two mascots appeared in two other Technos games. Name one.
Oh, that volleyball game we had on the NES.
Which was called?
Beach Volleyball? I don't know.
Well, I have Renegade and Super Dodgeball.
What was the volleyball game?
I don't even know what you're talking about. I don't think that was them.
Oh, bullshit.
I'm telling you. I don't think so. Either way, you didn't know the names.
Yeah.
Question four. What other famous beat-em-up series did Technos create?
I clearly know nothing about this company.
Just think of Nintendo beat-em-up series.
I don't know. I know it's not Battletoads. I don't think it's Turtles. So
what is the only other one?
I know. I'm trying to think. Damn it.
God.
There was another Nintendo beat-em-up?
Yes.
I don't know. What?
Double Dragon. God.
Oh, God. Darn it.
Okay, five. You haven't gotten one of these yet, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
River City Ransom was ported to what portable system?
Game Boy Advance.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Bonus question. The first Double Dragon was released in what year?
89?
87.
Damn it.
Oh, that went swimmingly, didn't it?
Hang on, I need to find this volleyball game where you played your shadow. Remember?
I know the game, but those wasn't them. There was like a monkey in it.
No, there wasn't. You play your shadows at the end.
I don't even know which game you're talking about.
It was
about
the exact
now.
Same art style.
Then look up Technos and look up things, but do it later because we're doing the show right now.
Never.
Okay? We're going to talk about Bioshock Infinite, which okay. I'm sure is a much hotter topic in this week. Than the stupid volleyball game for the NES that nobody remembers.
Never.
What are you doing? Are you looking it up right now?
No.
Well, did you find it?
Not yet.
Yeah, because it's not existing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you done?
Not yet.
What am I supposed to do?
Keep going, I'm listening. I could multitask.
No, I'm not going to start this with you half paying attention.
Aha!
Are the characters in it?
Super Spike V-Ball or something? It had different names. V-Ball.
Who made it?
Technos.
Are the characters in it?
Kind of. They look a little different.
Yeah, okay. Okay, can we move on now?
Yeah.
I guess you... I'll even pretend to think that you were right. Will that help?
Sure.
Okay, yeah, you really were wrong. You showed me.
Okay, good.
All right. First topic, Bioshock Infinite is a bad name for Irrational's new game.
I don't understand Infinite at this point, I guess. I mean, we don't know a lot about the game. I don't know. I mean, I almost feel like the name's irrelevant. It could have been called anything, but it's like, well, why not call it Bioshock just to cash in on the IP, just to help give it exposure? Because the problem is, here's the problem they face. You know, how many of, like, the casual, not casual, but the between hardcore and casual gamers who, like, you know, have 360s and played Bioshock and then bought Bioshock 2, like, how many of them really understood that it was not made by the same people?
It doesn't help that they changed their developer name again.
Right. They were 2K Boston when Bioshock came out. Now they're Irrational. This is probably just kind of a way of, you know, just helping recognize the pedigree of the title, I guess.
Like, I guess I don't blame them for using the Bioshock name because, you know, that name obviously has some weight to it now.
I mean, you almost get the sense, too, that, like, you know, Irrational probably, like, finished Bioshock and is like, all right, sweet, now we're going to do one in the sky. And then 2K is like, in the meantime, because we own the IP, we're going to hire every other studio we own to work on a sequel to this so we can make some money. And they're like, well, I guess we can't stop you, so go ahead.
Couldn't they have done, like, Aeroshock, though?
At that point, I actually think that would have been worse, because you would have gone from System Shock to Bioshock to, like, Sky Shock or whatever.
Well, sure, but you have a theme going. What's so bad about that?
I almost feel like that'd be cheesy.
Why is that cheesy?
Well, here's the thing. I mean, nothing about Bioshock, like, if you dissect the etymology of the name, has to do with underwater.
See, I know it doesn't now that I think about it, but I always kind of associated it with water.
Right.
I get it's hard for me, because Bioshock, and I know they're like, well, what is Bioshock? And they're like, well, we found out that Bioshock really isn't Rapture. To me, it is Rapture.
Right. They weren't helped by Bioshock 2 in that regard. Bioshock 2 was saying, because Bioshock 2 survived in the cachet of, it is about Rapture. Like, you're a different character, but that doesn't matter. We're still in this world of Rapture. That's what Bioshock's about. But then, like, Irrational's probably, like, you know, on the other side of the curtain, like, fuck. This right. doesn't help our cause.
But do you think Irrational always wanted to call this Bioshock Infinite?
Probably.
You think this was Irrational's decision and not 2K's decision?
Yeah, in essence, I mean, this is Bioshock 2. For, you know, not meaning it was a linear sequel to Bioshock, but this is the next game that the Bioshock guys are going to make that was still in the Bioshock fiction and the Bioshock kind of theme. You know what I mean?
So, but do you mean, like, mechanically? Because
mechanically,
it sounds like,
and thematically, because again,
well, thematically, I get it very much thematically, because it's a whole while you're in a weird city and you're going through places that you'll never really see. I kind of get their niche there, or niche or what? It's niche, right?
I don't know.
Anyways, my problem is, okay, you don't have plasmids, right? And you don't have an equivalent of them, really. Either.
No, you do. It's these potions you take.
Okay, you have. I don't get how that works. Can you say that there's, like, the game's going to limit you to use them more, basically?
Again, we don't really know, but I mean, it's just, it's the technological precursor. Remember, it takes place almost 50 years.
You still think there's
Bioshock.
Basically going to be, what I'm asking is there going to be the, let's call it magic system, plasmids, whatever
yes.
it was.
No, yeah,
you know,
there are.
The magic slash gun system.
Yes, that is still there.
You think that'll be there?
No, it is.
It is.
Yes.
So that'll be a big part of it still.
Right. What they're trying to push for, though, from what I read in the previews I read, because, I mean, they won't really show gameplay until, I think, Gamescom. But, I mean, the press got hands-on, and they're allowed to write about it. They just can't show the media yet. And it is, you know, in the one preview I read, it went up. They're like, they're not called this, but for the sake of this preview, I'm going to call them plasmids. And, like, he talked about how he used them. And the one thing they're really pushing for in the game is really not having an ideal situation or an ideal solution to each situation. I mean, like, you know how Bioshock, like, you'd have the very mechanical moments like, oh, these guys are sitting in a puddle, zap them. Like,
yeah,
that's what you do. They're trying to really push for anything could work in any situation, just depending on how
creatively you
use it. You
know, I
want to
say I've heard that mantra said a lot.
I know.
And I've never seen that really work.
I know.
Ever. And I'm still very skeptical about that. Like, oh, an infinite amount of solutions for any problem. That's, like, Scribblenauts has come the closest to that, really. As much criticism as Scribblenauts still gets, but they came right. the closest. I'm on board on this game.
Oh, yeah, I think
100%.
The aesthetic of it looks phenomenal.
Well, as a Miyazaki fan and of games for my whole life, there have been a lot of great instances of floating cities. They've always been kind of a cool idea that actually haven't probably not been explored enough. And I kind of like that it's like a world's fair, and then it got weaponized and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it would be interesting if they kind of explore these themes of patriotism, which is kind of the opposite of what Bioshock is.
The other
is
interesting
about.
Thing, too, is how, you know, the existence of Columbia, it's known. It's not like this hidden city under the ocean. People know it's out there. It kind of went missing for a couple of years, but, like, people know about it.
Right. In Bioshock, what was better, though? What was more important? Was it the personal story? Or was it kind of the discovery of Rapture and just what Rapture was about?
The personal story was important to me until the game's twist. And then, at that point, it kind of pittered out, and then it just ended
it
up being
it kind of climaxed at the twist, didn't it?
Right, right. And so it ultimately became about the world.
These games are always going to have this problem now that they're not going to be able to top that twist, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's kind of like Knights of the Old Republic 2, I'm sure, had the same problem. Like, shit.
Well, and here's the thing, too, you got to realize is in this game, as they've said, you are a character. You're not just kind of like this no-name dude who's more of a blank slate. Like, you are like this agent sent to the city very specifically to find this girl. And he's got a name. I didn't write it down. But, like, it is a character, you know?
I think Bioshock 1 might have benefited from that a little bit more, actually. Because it was weird because the guy actually did talk in the very beginning of the game.
Yeah, people kind of forget that.
He had a name.
Yeah.
And then he just... And I think sometimes they're worried that the character talks so much then, like, some of the scary parts of the game won't work as well. I think it's fine for that character to still shut up then, for instance.
Right.
But I like that this city, like, this isn't a dead city either right now, right?
No, so we
don't have to depend on audio logs and stuff like that.
I hope so.
It's just, you know,
they'd be recording themselves in the phonographs. It's 1912, for God's sake.
Yeah. I recorded my, maybe that's a magic potion. It's like the one episode I saw of Metalocalypse where they were recording with water.
Okay.
Kind of a dumb show, by the way, but that's the one episode I saw. Okay. Here's my next topic. So okay. we're still talking BioShock Infinite here for a couple more of these. So
okay.
BioShock Infinite will never be able to escape the BioShock in the Sky criticism, regardless of quality or whatever.
Right.
See, like, is that an issue now?
Let me think here for a second. Like, I was saying before in the news segment, I think what could actually put this apart is the way it'll handle this Elizabeth character. If she does work the way I think she does based on these previews I've read, where it is almost like an Alex Vance character, but, like, to utilize her is to hurt her, and that's going to be, like, the game's moral choice, that could be interesting.
That could maybe be interesting. Except that sounds like one of those... I don't understand what the rewards / not rewards are. Once again, it's hard to come up with a reward for being good there. Because the reward for your character would be, well, I'm saving this person I love. I don't love that person, though. That's just a character to me.
But
whatever. I don't care. Well, if she lives, that's great.
If they can make her as engaging as Alex Vance was.
Okay, can I just say this? Mm-hmm. You and a lot of other people totally overplay Alex Vance.
That is not true.
Okay, Alex Vance, that's fine. She's a good character. You guys, some of you people, like, I wish there was a hug button. You guys kind of freaked me out a little bit.
I never said I wish there was a hug button.
Yes, yes. You have specifically said that. So don't dare tell me you never said that.
Okay, there's like one instance where I wish there was a hug button.
The Alex Vance thing, I don't agree. I think you guys, I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid that Alex Vance is. I have some deep emotional tie to Alex Vance because I don't.
Okay.
That's, you know, just wanted to get that out there. Like I said, it's hard for moral choices to work that don't affect your character. Like, directly.
Well,
not people that you love.
Like, I don't know, maybe it could be a situation where it's like, do you want the combat to be easier or do you want environmental navigation to be easier? Because if she's hurt, then maybe you have to, like, help her move. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, again, we're working on a very limited amount of information at this point.
I still like Fallout 3 style moral choices where just like there's separate things to do if you were good or bad. It wasn't so much, well, a lot of the time, you know what I mean though? Like there's a point where the things change depending on if you were good or bad.
Right.
Not so much do this the good way or the bad way. Because usually one way is more or less better. If that makes sense. And you know, BioShock 1 was, my basic problem with that was kind of a lie in that I was told the whole time, well, if you don't harvest little sisters, you won't get enough Adam. Well, it turns out you do get enough Adam if you harvest little sisters.
Yeah, I never
played it
like that.
Because it'll leave you presents full of them. See, yeah. I didn't either the first time. Then I did. Oh, well, I guess they lied to me. I guess I could have not killed these things and still gotten all my power-ups. Great. All right.
Yeah.
So, well, I don't know if I ever got an answer from you. Will it be able to escape the BioShock in the City criticism?
I think so. It'll escape it by just being a really good game that improves upon BioShock. I mean, BioShock 2 was generally liked by people. You know, I enjoyed it. But it was kind of seen as more of the same.
You know what my basic problem is?
Hmm.
I'm kind of getting sick of our supposed best game personas or developers attaching themselves for one franchise for their entire career. I'm kind of sick of that.
Well,
I'm sick of Hideo Kojima doing it.
Yeah.
I'm sick of, God, I had other examples in my, but you know, like there's the Castlevania guy, Shigeta's Mario. There's that one guy who only does Zelda now.
Mm-hmm.
Ken Levine now, I guess he does BioShock.
That's not fair to say to him. I mean, this is only his second game in that series.
Okay, in 10 years though.
Yeah.
I mean, I just don't understand why. You know what I mean, though.
Yeah, but to counter your argument, I mean, Warren Spector's making a Mickey Mouse game. You know, Valve Okay, has, yeah, like, Warren four different franchises they do.
Warren Spector never, you know, he should be applauded, but he was never one to kind of stick around the franchise too much.
Right.
Who else were you saying, though?
You know, Valve has, you know, Half-Life, Team Fortress, Left 4 Dead, Portal, and now Aliens.
Okay, I'm not saying that there's only, but I'm saying I'm kind of getting sick of these people who only seem to be too attached to their franchises.
Okay.
Like, they can, you know, they can make something else. We won't hate them. Okay, next one. It's too early to announce a game being released in 2012.
Yeah? Are you kidding me?
Okay, I find this interesting that you and a lot of people had this reaction. We used to have games, and we still do have some games announced, like, 5 years before they come out.
Yeah, I call those Final Fantasy 13. And now they're talking about, do you see the quote about Final Fantasy 13 Versus where fucking Nomura was like, this is just part of the pains of birth. I was like, okay, asshole, listen. Creating a video game is not analogous to birthing a human. You're writing code and drawing pictures, all right? Just because you're processed and work in this game and you realize you probably didn't do enough pre-production, that's just your own fault. Like, stop trying to sound pretentious about it.
Have you ever seen a picture of that guy?
Does he look like, I don't know.
I think pretentious is his forte.
Yeah.
Let's just say that.
He's right up there with Igarashi wearing the fucking sunglasses in Thor's all the time.
Iga. Igarashi? Oh, Iga's the Castlevania guy.
All right, who do I mean?
I don't know. The
ninja guy.
Yeah, I know who you mean. I'm not gonna bother thinking up his name right now.
Yeah, it's skipping my mind. Igarashi has the cowboy hat,
which is also silly.
Right, because he's Japanese.
They have to have trademark things. Isn't that funny?
Itagaki. There it is. She's, yeah, Itagaki, I wanted to say that just so I didn't lose any cred.
Oh gosh, my cred.
But yeah,
it's too early.
Yeah, it. Frankly, there's too much stuff coming out on a month-to-month basis for me to give two shits about a game that's coming out 2 years from now. I can't even keep track of what's coming out this fall.
To be fair, though, how many people do you think kept bugging Ken Levine? Well, what are you working on? Let us know. What are you working on? Let us know. Well, we want to know what you're working on. You know?
Is there a specific game you have in mind that was announced for 2012?
Who, me?
Yeah, that made you bring this up?
Yeah, what? Bioshock Infinite.
Okay.
You didn't know it was coming out 2012?
No, actually, I didn't realize it was that far off. For some reason, I thought it was next year.
Nope, it's coming out 2012. Yeah.
Oh, fuck that.
How did you not get that?
I don't know. I didn't even think of the re-release dates. I just kind of assumed, show that it'd be out in a year.
You're like, is there a specific game? Like, yeah, the one we've been talking about for half an hour.
What do you know? But yeah...
Why, do you want to take those things back now?
No. I'm just... Like, that was the norm for the industry. That's the thing. It wasn't uncommon to hear about a game 2-3 years in advance and have this slow trickle of media. But it's just, it's such a crowded space right now that until you have something really substantial to show, it's just hard to care. I mean, at least they had a trailer for this announcement. I mean, have we seen any gameplay of Final Fantasy 13 Versus?
Not that I know of.
Yeah.
Keep going back to Final Fantasy Versus.
I do, because that's like...
It's a good example.
Yeah, it is.
That was announced forever ago.
Right.
I mean, I think it was announced with Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah.
More or less. And God, that was a while ago. And also, the funny thing about Final Fantasy Versus 13 is that it has no signs of coming out anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Like, they have no estimation for it.
Right. They should have just made Kingdom Hearts 3.
But, you know, like, I mean, you look at, like, when the original Modern Warfare was announced. It was announced and shown in an almost complete state at E3 and then came out that fall.
A lot of games kind of... Uncharted 2 did that.
And did a lot of games kind of... Did it hurt their sales? No.
Right. And it's a good... I think that's a good enough model.
I think, honestly, like I said, this industry has grown leaps and bounds. In fact, quite frankly, I think it's almost gotten too big. Like, there's too much stuff coming out in a way. And...
No.
That's a whole other argument. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is you don't need to announce something 2 or 3 years in advance to be like, oh, we're doing something. Like, we know Ken Levine's working on something. It's okay. And you could announce... I mean, look at the original Bioshock. No one really gave it that much attention until that demo came out a month before the game came out. That was all it needed to really make the mainstream splash.
I don't know how much it's hurting him, though. He's showing the game. He's letting you know it's there. We knew he was making a game. Might as well tell us what it is, and now we'll wait for it.
Like I said, yeah. It's
not like I'm on pins and needles now. Like, oh, how could you announce this so early? I can't live until this game's out, you know?
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, he's kind of, I guess, the right way to do it. Because at least it's like, yeah, we're, like, pretty far along. We're going to spend these next 2 years just really tweaking the game and everything. Whereas, again, I keep going back to it, but, like, Final Fantasy 13 Versus, we don't even know
what it
looks
like. Can you say Spore or something else?
Spore... I'm trying to think back now to that. Yeah, I mean, that is another one, too. That's the other thing, too. When you announce these games so far in advance, they change so dramatically, and you end up disappointing people. Spore's a good example, actually, as you bring it up. That game was supposed to be, like, sim everything. And basically, it distilled down to a bunch of mini-games.
Right.
By the time it was released. And it was ultimately, to me, personally, a huge disappointment. So, yeah, that's actually a really good example. Like, that's the danger you face when you announce this stuff too early, is... it's probably not going to be that in 2 years.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to say about Bioshock Infinite? Because we're kind of moving away from it now.
No, I'm pretty good.
I'm still happy. I still think it looks pretty sweet.
Oh, I'm a fan. I kind of was predicting this, honestly, like Bioshock in the Sky, which I think is awesome.
Oh, well, now you say you were predicting it, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, you're a genius.
Thank you.
All right, next. It was dumb of Takashi Iizuka. Guessing I got that right, to say that Sonic Colors is only for kids.
Yes!
Like, why not just, like, why are you going to tell people not to buy your game?
Seriously.
And for any reason.
Like, I guess there's, on, like, the one hand, you want to manage expectations or whatever. You're allowed to say, you know, we're designing this for our core audience of Sonic fans between ages 6 to 12, but we think there's something in this for all Sonic fans. I mean, here's the argument. I think you are the one who actually originated this, and I completely agree with it. Fucking Mario is completely universal. Everybody loves all Mario games. Galaxy 2, New Super Mario Bros. Wii, they're for everybody. Why can't they do that with Sonic?
I don't even know.
Like, why can't they just say, like, yes, we're making a Sonic game for everybody? And here's the thing, here's what really pisses me off, is how they're like, you know, for those people, we're making Sonic 4. Yeah, except you put in a fucking homing attack that lets the game basically autoplay itself. Like,
yeah, that's my problem with Sonic 4 when I played it, was that... And I know that sounds like a really nitpicky thing, but that homing attack really kind of ruined it.
Well, did you see someone made a custom hack of the Sonic 2 ROM? It's called Sonic 2. It's made by Dimps. And it's Sonic 2 with a homing attack and just a shit ton of speed ramps thrown into the game. You watch it and you're like, ooh, burn. It's funny because it's true. I mean, somehow that's what they think Sonic is.
I've already gotten over the point that they'll never make a Sonic game like the old Sonic games.
Right. Like, this really is as close as we'll ever get, and it's not...
Right.
It's
but, not like, right. Sonic Colors was kind of looking cool for what it was.
Yeah.
And I wrote a big thing saying, like, oh, I get how it appeals to kids, because I remember... You know, that's the game I saw, like, that kid just sitting down there playing it, and apparently all she did was play Sonic Colors.
Well, I mean, I looked at Sonic Colors, and I said to myself, here's Sonic Unleashed without the Werehog stages. You've got some of these color-based power-ups, but they actually look okay. Yeah,
I mean, I was actually kind of looking more forward to Sonic Colors than Sonic
4. Yeah, and I was
4.
Like, yeah, there's, like, the rail grinding, which is automatic. But, yeah, it's flashy. It's fun. I can see the appeal of it. And, yeah, you know what? I'm on board for this game. And he's basically saying the things that I looked at and said, okay, this is fine. He's telling me I won't like.
Now, here's the thing. Do you believe him when he says that's only for kids and that you're not going to like it? Or is he just really dumb?
I think he's just really dumb.
Like, maybe... It wouldn't be funny if Sonic Colors is the one game that we're saying, like, oh my god, you guys did it right, finally.
I know.
And before it came out, they're like, don't play this one because you'll hate it. Like, every other time, they're like, guys, we made this one and it's going to be good now. And like finally, when they're like, just don't play it, guys, you're not going to like it, it actually is good.
Like I said, like this thing is he specifically called out in that quote I read was about, like, rail grinding, how it's, like, automatic. It's not like it's new. Rail grinding's been there since Sonic 1, and I've always criticized it for basically being on autopilot.
Wait, rail grinding has not been on there since Sonic 1.
I mean, Sonic Adventure 1.
2.
Excuse me. No, it was in Sonic Adventure the first.
No,
it
was not. It was in Sonic Adventure 2 first.
It wasn't to, like, the... Wait, am I thinking... Oh, that was Sonic Adventure 2.
Suck it down, Daikatana.
Yeah. But even then, like... it wasn't quite as automatic as it became. There were some sections of it where it were, but like it wasn't half the game was rail grinding.
Well, the problem was that the rails used to be a lot shorter.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was getting at. Like in Sonic Unleashed and the Sonic 2006, yeah, it was like you grinded for like 3-4 minutes at a time.
Yeah, that kind of got tedious.
Basically not doing anything. But like I've at least come to accept, I'm like, okay, they put this rail grinding here for the kids. You know, someone think of the children.
Well, it was fine. It was, you know, flashy and whatever.
Yeah, it is flashy.
The Sonic the Hedgehog 2006, I guess you would call it, the first next-gen Sonic game, was really bad. It had a lot of moments where it was just grinding and, like, grabbing onto animals as it took you somewhere and, you know, so on and so forth.
It played itself.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, exactly.
And the times you did have to play it, you were falling through the floor.
It's kind of funny to even remember that game existed because I didn't really play it. I played that demo of it.
Yeah.
Kind of weird how that was like such a – that should have been a big deal of a game, and it really wasn't at all.
Well, to go into this conversation real quick, the original teaser for that game showed Sonic running through this huge valley.
Basically through Green Hill Zone.
Yeah,
like
but
high-res
it was,
Green Hill Zone.
It was like a piece of earth. But then the game was just a shit ton of floating platforms. So well, you never really got to run.
It was that, and it was once again in a human city. Stuff.
Oh, yeah, that shit gots to go.
I feel like we've done this whole Sega problem thing.
Yeah.
It's a lost cause.
Here's the thing.
Next.
I mean, I almost...
All right, one more.
I mean,
one more.
In a sense, this may have been, like, brilliant reverse psychology, because part of me is like, fuck you, I think Sonic Colors looks cool, I'm getting it.
Yeah, maybe that's what he's trying to do. Like, fuck you, Sonic Colors is going to be awesome. Maybe it's brilliant. Because all the other times they were saying their games were going to be sweet and we hated them, so...
Yeah.
All right. Halo Reach is your most anticipated game for the rest of the year.
Pretty much. The only thing I could think of that even comes close is really Epic Mickey.
Yeah, Epic Mickey will be good. I mean, Epic Mickey is still, as excited as we are for it, it's still a bit of a question mark, isn't it?
Yeah, it's...
A lot of the stuff he says about it is so high concept, I still don't quite fully grasp it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes when I hear things that are really high concept, like, there's always the fable side of me. It's like, well, maybe this stuff is actually just really simple, and it only sounds high concept.
Right. And the other thing, too, is, I mean, you got, obviously, to get some time with it at E3, but when they were, like, at the Nintendo press conference while he's talking in the background, I saw a guy playing a very standard-looking third-person platformer with a double jump. Like, they did a very poor job at E3 of conveying what makes this game good, I think.
I'll even say that I'm hoping that the game itself is better than the demo I played.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's like. I like the demo, but...
I mean, honestly, that's a game I'm on board for. Like, the gameplay will be fine. I'm on board for the story, the world, and the concept.
Right. Like, I'm hoping that they tighten up the platforming a little bit from what I played, I guess. It felt okay, but it did not feel Mario Galaxy.
Even at the Nintendo press conference, he was, like, double jumping up these branches of this tree, and when he missed, he did that thing that, like, PS2-era platformers did, where you, like, missed a jump and slid down the trunk of the tree, and, like, it was kind of janky. Like, I saw that, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But still, I'm so sold on the concept of that game that I'm kind of okay with it.
Right. Like, I'm totally on board, and, you know, just... Like I said, I still have some worries about Epic Mickey.
Yeah.
Whereas Halo Reach, you know what you're going to get. I still don't know why you're so apparently not down with Little Big Planet 2.
I don't know. It's just, I mean, I played the original Little Big Planet. I thought it was neat. I appreciated what it was doing, but it just never really clicked with me.
Did you see the trailers for this game?
Yes, yes.
You could play a 2D platformer, then it would go into, like, a shmup. And then it'll go into, like, a first-person shooter. And you can make these things. You can make your own AI Sackboy. I think this is going to be pretty amazing.
I hope so.
I think this is going to be a big deal.
If it is, then all the better. But I don't, it's just...
Grappling hooks, too. Those are always fun.
You know, when a game tries to do a lot of genres in one go, it's typically, I'm just saying... It's just typically in the past, it's failed, because it's kind of a jack-of-all-trades.
What other games even done that?
I don't know.
I'm not trying to say, like,
yeah.
No. I'm just saying.
But, you're going to tell me that Media Molecule, whose pedigree is the original Little Big Planet and Ragdoll Kung Fu, have created a perfect playing platformer, a perfect playing third-person shooter, a perfect playing first-person shooter, a perfect playing
shmup. I'm sure they've got that fine.
Right.
It's not like that. It's not like it's that difficult. But the bit that my thing here is that they have the tools in place that people. The competency of whatever it is depends on the person at this point.
Right.
It's kind of like people making, you know, third-person action game out of StarCraft 2. I'm sure that's not, you know, preferable to God of War.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think there's some neat... And I think just... Even if just the improvements they're making to the 2D platforming thing.
Right.
I think it's going to be good. All right. So Halo Reach then for you, I guess? What else is there this year? I feel like I'm missing
something. Call of Duty. There's Fable 3.
No, Fable 3 is not this year, is it?
It's either late this year or early next year. Now I can't remember.
I feel like it's not this
year.
I'll
double check real quick.
Well, I mean, I guess Kinect's launching this fall, isn't
it? Yeah, I mean, I look forward to Kinect.
Yeah, you do?
I know you do.
All right.
Yeah, it's October 26th is Fable 3.
Wait, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I feel like Fable 2 just came out.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Fable 3 is a lot more like Fable 2 than some people are thinking, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I still say that. All right. Okay, this is kind of... This is... Well, man, that was just... I just said nothing. That was my worst example of talking
Hey,
ever.
Here's that Kotaku story about Warren Spector when I make a DuckTales
game.
That's
great.
It came into my feed.
Thanks for coming in to save on that one a bit late.
You're welcome.
All right. There aren't really any dead franchises left that you want to see come back.
There aren't any dead franchises I want to see come back.
Didn't it seem like there used to... I used to be able to think of, man, why don't they make a new this or a new that?
Right.
I don't know if I feel that way about any franchise anymore.
The only thing I could think of is a new Darkwing Duck game. Outside of that,
okay,
I'm good.
Okay, no, see, that's a franchise. I mean, like, a game franchise.
Right.
Come on. When they made a new Rocket Knight, like, all of a sudden nothing was silly anymore, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nothing was without my wildest dreams, and, like, all of a sudden I just didn't care as much anymore. And, like, you know...
That's true. It was like, let's take this obscure 16-bit platformer that, like, only you know about. We're gonna remake it. It's gonna come out. It'll be okay, and you'll be like, eh.
Right. But then, like, you know, we have a lot of franchises that do come back, and it's like, like, you know, Bionic Commando came back and was like, eh. Knights came back. I thought that. See, like, there's the thing. I would have thought that them making a new Knights game would have been the coolest damn thing in the entire world.
Yeah,
and
but
they
we
made
thought
it,
we,
and it was like, meh.
We always used to think that before they started making new Sonic games, and we're
right,
like, wait, those are the people who would be making it. Oh no.
I think I remember. I did realize that. Like, wait. Sonic Team isn't cool anymore.
Yeah.
No. Sonic, that's what they need to do. They need to make Saturn games again.
Mm-hmm.
That's Sonic Team's problem.
Yeah. Give them the Saturn, but figure out a way to, like, port it to Xbox Live Arcade and PSN, but just tell them they're working on the Saturn again.
Yeah. Like, guys, we're not going to be able to afford voice actors, so you don't get
that's
those.
The problem, yeah. Let's be like, listen.
Also, the writers have to
less is more, guys. Less is more.
Yeah. But you know what I mean, though? I don't think there's anything I really wish to come back anymore. I think we have enough new franchises.
Yeah,
everything
I'm trying
that's
to
gone.
Think of something. I've got nothing.
Like, how about this? We know that they're porting Star Fox 64 to the DS.
Mm-hmm.
Would it really bother you that much if there was never another Star Fox game again?
Not really. I mean, they've tried, and they kind of ran that franchise into the ground to an extent. The problem is... Here's the thing. When you take too long to bring back a franchise that it seems like you're on the verge of bringing back, like Star Fox, even Kid Icarus, all these old things, by that point, you've gotten in your head, like, oh, well, if I was going to bring it back, I'd do this, 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 and this. And then and that becomes real to you. And so whatever they do is not going to match your expectation for whatever reason. Like, I mean, honestly, if I was going to make a new Star Fox, it'd just be like Star Fox 64 2. Bigger, badder, and more badass. But, like, they're not going to do that. Ever. Ever. There will not be a Star Fox game that doesn't have either a weird motion control element to it, or some kind of, like, on-foot planetary exploration, or just a stupid, shitty story where the characters talk too much. Like, that's never going to happen. But I don't... Like, I already see it in my head, and they're not going to match that.
Then, like, thinking about... Like, that Earthworm Jim HD remake came out, right?
Mm-hmm. And it just kind of reminds you of how that game wasn't actually quite as good as you remember as a kid.
Right, like, oh, this was what I loved so much. Let's segue to our week in gaming here.
Okay.
I was visiting our cousin.
Mm-hmm.
He was six now.
Yes.
And I was baffled because he loves Mario, but and he has a Wii at home. But when he comes here, he plays his uncle's old Nintendo, and he just mm-hmm. plays the Mario games on it. And he's, like, good at them.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a weird thing. Like, those old games still are actually entertaining to him. Just as they ever were meant to be. And he doesn't look at them and say, well, these don't look as good as my Wii games do, you know?
Hmm.
It's kind of... I don't know. It was interesting to me.
Is it a scathing criticism of the graphics of the Wii? But I'm...
But, you know, even still, though, Mario Galaxy 2, I mean, you know?
Right.
He did not play Mario Super Mario Bros. And go, this is stupid compared to Mario Galaxy 2. I thought that was just interesting. At the same time, he was playing Flash games on, like, the computer, like, really poorly done Flash Mario games, and seemed just as amused by those, even though he was no good at them, because the controls were weird. But I just wanted to throw that in there real quick.
Fair enough.
Just a little observation. This week, I tried the Scott Pilgrim demo.
How is it? I haven't gotten to it yet.
It's really cool. I mean, you know, it's basically, like, you know, it's kind of Castle Crashers-y, but even a bit more closer to its NES beat-em-up roots.
I've heard people compare it to Beautiful Joe.
Yeah, I don't get that.
Okay.
No. Let's say no. No, I don't get that at all. Beautiful Joe was... It's very much its own thing. I don't know what I would ever compare to Beautiful Joe. This is much more comparable to just, like, Double Dragon or something like that.
Right.
I mean, it's got some complexity to it. Like, you know, there's a move list, and you level up and stuff like that, and there's money, but nothing. It doesn't even have as many RPG elements as Castle Crashers does, from what I can see. But it's very fun, and it has a lot of charm with the whole 8-bit thing going on. It seemed really cool. I will probably get the full version once it comes out on Xbox.
Cool.
What have you played? You throw chime in with something.
Let's see. I finished Mass Effect 2.
Man, that's fascinating. You know what? If this was relevant, we could have done our big spoiler discussion afterwards.
Yeah,
I don't think anybody cares now.
I will say this. The game's phenomenal. I friggin' love it. I don't like the ending as much as I like the ending of Mass Effect 1.
What didn't you like about it?
I mean, it's very much, like they've said, it's the Empire Strikes Back ending. It's not really an end. It's just like a setup for Mass Effect 3.
Right, like, but... I'm not trying to say, like, well, what didn't you like about Sue? I just want to know what you didn't like about it.
No, yeah. I mean, that, I just felt like it ended too fast. Like, I beat... Like, I'm trying to be vague here, but, like, you know, I beat the final boss.
I know what you mean. Like, maybe there wasn't enough, like... There was really no... Yeah, there was no vindication moment.
Yeah.
When you play a 30-hour game, you want just, you know... You want kind of that metaphorical high five... More or less.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we did it, guys.
I got, like, a nice little quick pat on the back and a good work, but I never got, like, a celebration, I guess.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, Mass Effect 3 is looming out there. We know it's coming.
But yeah, it was still, like, but here's what impresses me the most about the way that game ended in particular. There were choices I was making in the game, and I'm, like, at this point, I'm so conscious of, like, oh, everything I do here is going to affect Mass Effect 3. But I'm looking at these choices, I'm thinking to myself, my God. Depending on which one of these two I pick, like, Mass Effect 3 would be completely different. Like, completely different. Almost two different games different. Assuming it works the way I think it would, you know?
Right.
So I was kind of impressed by that. I was like, damn, this is kind of ballsy of them.
How much you want to bet you don't play as Shepard in Mass Effect 3 or something crazy?
Oh, no, you do. They said you do.
Okay, I was saying, but wouldn't that be crazy?
Yeah.
I mean, I hope you do.
I was bummed I had one person die on me at the end, and I was upset with the logic. I didn't think she should have, or he.
He or she.
Yes.
Whoever it was.
But yeah, here's the thing, too. This is how much I freaking like that game. What did I do today? I started a new game with a new character because I wanted to try some Renegade stuff that I never got to do. And also, I still stand by my decision to play as a female because the male voice actor is not very good.
He's fine. I don't get why everyone says that.
He's fine, but the female is just a lot better.
Well, what is, I can't imagine the female voice saying, "I'm Commander Shepard. This is my favorite store in the Citadel."
Okay, not that, but like, I don't know, just incidental
things. Does she say it? I mean, I guess she does.
She does, yes.
See, I can't picture that at all. I'm sorry. It's even on the box. The guy. Sexist, whatever you want to call me.
I don't know what to tell you.
Plus, he can probably, like, have sex with, like, one of the guy characters, which is weird.
No, actually, here's the thing, too. Of course, now that I finished the game, I've been, like, looking at spoilers of how different paths would have worked out and everything, just because I'm curious. And, you know, I had my, quote-unquote, sex scene with Thane, because that's kind of who I was talking to.
Ew.
But here's the thing. All the sex scenes, I checked them all out. They're pretty PG compared, especially compared to the first
one.
Oh,
game. Yeah, they are. I know.
I mean, there's nothing, like, all that happened in the Thane one, this is a minor spoiler, is they kissed, and then the camera kind of rack-focused from the two of them to the bed behind you, and then faded to black. And then it was the next day. Like, there was no actual sex. Same kind of thing. I mean, with the one for Archangel, I don't know how much I'm allowed to spoil about this game.
Oh, you can do it with him?
Yeah. But all that is, too, there's not even a kiss. They're just, like, they talk for a little while. He's being funny. It's kind of cute. And then there's, like, just the kind of thing where they lean their foreheads against each other and then fade to black.
See, for my character, Garrus is, like, or whatever his name is like, God, the game came out in February. Give me a break. Garrus is, he's, like, my best friend and stuff.
Right.
You're weirding me out right now, literally. Which I guess is kind of cool.
Right.
Like, I get it. I get, you know, oh, that's neat, because for you it's a different experience, blah, blah, blah. You're weirding me out, though. And I don't like it. To me, the only person you should have sex with in that game is Miranda. Because to me, that's what Miranda's in the game for, is to eventually have sex with her. Like, that's why she's there.
I saw the one for Tali.
You can have... Who can you not have sex with?
Any of the DLC characters, Morden, and,
man. I'm assuming not the Krogan.
Not the Krogan. You can try with Samara, but she kind of rejects you. You can try it with Morinth, her daughter, and it just kills you.
Well, yeah, that's right, because that's her thing, isn't it?
Yeah, she convinces you that you'd survive it, because you have the Protean Cypher inside you, and you've done all this stuff, and you should be fine. And then it just kills you.
Then you like, reload last save.
Yeah.
Whoops. My bad.
But yeah, but still, on the whole, the game is freaking cool as hell. I just want to say, too, the character I'm playing now that I started over with, he's it's the Vanguard class. It's like the kind of half combat, half biotic. And they have that ability. I can't remember the name. It's like basically the biotic rush where you click on a guy and you just kind of like, it's like you almost get this sense of like you take like this deep breath, like an inhale, and you just whoosh, like rush forward and just crash into the dude, like physically. It's really fucking cool.
It was a good game to be sure. See, like I hope for, like they made a lot of changes between Mass Effect 1 and Mass Effect 2, and that's why, and they were all pretty much good, and that's why I kind of feel like a hypocrite being like, why are they making changes to Dragon Age 1, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
But I don't want them to change very much at all for Mass Effect 3.
I know. I almost feel like...
You got it pretty good now.
Yeah, like, you took Mass Effect 1 and polished it down to a fine sheen. Like, what else could you do? But right, hey, like, maybe they'll figure something out.
I hope. Maybe they'll ruin it. That's, like, my one criticism of Mass Effect 2. As much as I love it, is that it is so dependent on... I feel like... You need to play Mass Effect 1 first. I have a lot of friends who I know would love Mass Effect 2, but, like, I don't know if they would like Mass Effect 1.
But it's like, yeah, like, I started this character in Mass Effect 2, and part of me almost feels like I should just stop right now, go back to Mass Effect 1, make this character there, play through that, and then play through 2, like, if I actually want to play this character.
See,
like,
they, I want to do
they
that
fill
too.
In some gaps for you. Like, they tell you who died and what happened with the Council at the end of the first game, and, you know, they just kind of pick that stuff for you, and I'm fine with it, I guess, on the whole. But like, it's just cheesy as it sounds, I have like a pretty good connection with my Shepard character from the first two games, and as I'm playing this guy now, I feel like I've been kind of robbed of that. Like, I don't know why they didn't do this, and apparently they had it in their debug version of the game, because I remember the whole thing with Penny Arcade that happened with this, where they basically had a thing where you could go through just, like, a list of binary options and say, like, you know, did you want to kill this character or let him live, and did you do this or this, and what did you do here, and just let you reconstruct that.
Yeah, it seems like that wouldn't be that difficult.
They had it. Like I said, it was apparently in, like, their debug version of the game.
Maybe it exposed too many things that they didn't want us to know were choices that we made for, like, say, Mass Effect 3.
Could be, yeah.
I don't know, but... No, I know. See, I just wouldn't want to do that, because to me, I have the Mass Effect universe is just one thing, and it's what I'm doing right now.
Right.
That's why I would be hesitant to play through it with a second character.
Right.
Like, I don't want to see what else could happen. I don't really care.
Yeah, I understand that.
All right, we better move on.
Okay. I played the Madden 11 demo.
Does it still play football?
It does, but here's what it does that I really like. Oh, some people were, like, so resistant to this, they didn't understand it at all. They have this thing now called the game flow. What this is as you go into a game, you can either have the CPU just use a predetermined one or create your own, which is basically your game plan against that team that week. Because, you know, in, like, the actual NFL, the scouts will say, like, okay, we're playing, I'm making this all up, the Dolphins this week. And the Dolphins, you know, they always throw it on second and long, and they like to play out of the shotgun, and, you know, in this situation, they're going to probably do this, and blah, blah, blah. So we don't need to have all 200 of our plays at our disposal. We're going to focus on these 30 plays this week, and we basically are just going to react. So what this game tries to do is to simulate that. So instead of, like, because let's face it, the Madden games have never actually taught you how to play call. Like, I always right. bug me they didn't. So I always just went to the Ask Madden, just pick the first play there and be like, whatever, I'll just play the game. So this is basically that, but in a much better presentation. So now, like, between plays, it's either you push the X button. Yes, you can still open up the old school play calling screen, just like it's always been. Or you just push A, and it goes to game flow. And, like, the coach radios into your helmet and tells you what play you're going to run. And he says it in, like, very plain language. Like, okay, we're going to bring in the blitz in this one, so we got to get him for a big stop in the backfield, because if they get past our linebackers, they're going to be open. That makes sense to me. I can comprehend that, and I know what the hell's going on. So, and the cool thing it does, and I've talked about how much I like shit like this before. If you have your headset plugged in, the coach's voice comes through your headset. Which I think is just cool. So, like, I played through a game of the Jets versus the Colts in the demo. And played as the Colts. And, like, I had a really good time with it. Because I didn't have to worry about what plays I'm picking. I just got to kind of play football. I thought it was really good. I really liked it.
Why is it the Jets versus the Colts?
I don't know.
Why isn't it the Saints?
Versus... I don't know.
Okay. Go ahead, though. Isn't it usually the Super Bowl
usually,
game?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, yeah, like, and then... I know, like, the behind-the-hood stuff. Like, they've made some upgrades to the animation system, which are actually pretty apparent. They have this whole thing in the game now where your character's weight and momentum plays into how he hits people. And you can actually see that. It's actually pretty neat. So, like, you know, if you go running headlong into a guy who's not moving, you'll knock him over. So that's pretty cool. You know, they've done some presentation upgrades. It's all a little bit more slick. They have a new commentator in there this year. I really liked it. I mean, I'm probably not rushing out to buy it. I mean, it's already out at this point. But definitely, I would say, the most markedly improved and different feeling Madden since, like, they started this generation.
Okay. I'm glad you liked it.
Thank you.
What's next?
That's pretty much it for me this week.
I've been playing more Dragon Quest, and that's pretty much it. So, we can move on.
Okay.
All right, then. Let's get to the releases. Madden came out.
Yep.
PS3.
Everything.
PS3, it's up. Scott Pilgrim vs. the World was released on PSN. It's coming out on 360 in a couple of weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Victoria 2 for PC. You know, I loved Victoria 1.
Yes.
Monday Night Combat. Did you try that at all?
No, I want to.
I don't really care, and I feel like maybe I should a little bit more. But, like... And I know that it's not just Team Fortress 2, but I do have Team Fortress 2, you know what
right.
I mean? A lot of Maddens. Puzzle Quest 2 just got released on PC. All right, that's good enough. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. Or, you can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/explodingbarrel. We're also on the iTunes Music Store and the Zune Marketplace. Anything else, AJ? Nope. Yeah. All right, then. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye-bye.
Bye.